I'm going to preach a message entitled Prayers for Missions. Prayers for Missions. So I'm going to go to three specific areas where there's prayers in the Bible for missions or missionaries. And if you'll take the Word of God and go to Romans chapter number 10, and that'll be my launch pad this morning. Usually when I preach, I use a passage of Scripture and I just stay right in that passage. But I'm going to use a launch pad here, a very familiar section of Scripture. And while you're turning there, making your way there, I want you to know that the gospel is the central theme of the entire Word of God. That's the theme. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about the Lord weaving a throughout the pages of Scripture, weaving this message of the gospel, revealing His redemptive plan to mankind, because we all need redemption. We see in Genesis 3, we see the fall of mankind right there. And mankind has their eyes opened, by the way. And when their eyes are opened, it brings shame. This world is always trying to tell you, you know, you need to be enlightened. You need to be enlightened. If you're enlightened, watch this. If you're enlightened in the things of this world, your eyes will be open to things you never wanted to see. Things you never wanted, you wish, man, I wish I never heard that, I never saw that. And so don't let them fool you and say, well, you just need more knowledge about this and more knowledge about that. More knowledge, the Bible is very clear. The preacher, Solomon, said, you know what it does? It brings vexation, sorrow. That's what it does. And so be careful of all that. What happened when their eyes were opened, that shame was brought in. Man tried to cover their own shame, and they sewed fig leaves together, right? And God made the first sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And watch this, He clothed them, He covered them entirely, because they could not cover themselves. Do you know God is the only one that can cover you? That's it. Picture right from the beginning. And by the way, in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 17, you have this first promise of God that He would bring redemption to mankind. The serpent, remember, was the one that beguiled Eve and brought in all this deception. And the serpent would bite the heel, but watch this, the heel would stomp his head. It's a crushing blow. Listen, the devil does not have victory. He does not have victory. You have to give it to him. God's already provided the way, and I'm so glad for the gospel. Now, in Romans chapter number 10, we find here verse number 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad it's a whosoever salvation? And for those that teach out there that it's just for some elect people, I still haven't figured out what they do with whosoever. Whosoever. And they just simply have to add to the Bible, by the way, in order to get that doctrine. Verse number 40 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The Holy Spirit of God is asking some questions. How is somebody going to call on the name of the Lord? If whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, then how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? How's that going to happen? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? It's interesting in the United States of America. Watch this. We talk about this being a Christian nation. It's never been a Christian nation. It's been Christian in its foundation, but can I say it's never been God's nation? It has Christian foundation. It has spiritual foundation in the Word of God. But in the United States of America, even with all that foundation, you can go to parts of the United States now and there's people that have never heard. I knock on doors and I'm just telling you, I live in the United States too. I know Butte is, you know, it's in Montana. My in-laws think it's a foreign country, and because we're 1,800 miles away. But listen, I knock on doors, and I'll start talking to people, and I'll ask them about church, and they say, well, I've never gone to church, and I'll start asking them about the Lord Jesus, and have you ever heard? And I've had people look at me. I'm not talking about kids now. I'm talking about adult people that have looked at me and said, no, I've never heard that before. And, well, how in the world are they going to believe if they haven't heard about it? They got to hear about it. Isn't that what it's asking in this passage? And it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody has got to go. Now, it was mentioned, Pastor Ross mentioned, that not everybody's called in what we call the ministry, a full-time ministry. Something like, but can I say this? God has commanded every Christian to give the gospel. That's not a call, that's a command. It's different. And everybody's supposed to have that. And by the way, I enjoyed my time. I went out with Brother Jeff Reiser yesterday, went on visiting on his bus route. And there's two guys standing in one spot, and so he began to engage, just talk to them, two young men. And, I mean, he knew one of them just from past some things, connections there, that kind of thing. But it didn't take long, and he was giving them the gospel just like that. And you know what? The fact is one of the things he said, he says, I don't know if I'll ever see you again. Took the opportunity to give them the gospel. And how are they going to believe if they've not heard? And how are they going to hear if there's no preacher, somebody to tell them, right? And then it continues on in this passage, verse 15, how should they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, what are the glad tidings, good things? The glad tidings is the gospel, the good news, right? The good news. Jesus has come to redeem all of mankind. And I'm going to start this message by way of introduction just before I get into the actual prayers. I want you to understand that the world is lost. They're without God. And they're on their way to a devil's hell. And I say it's a devil's hell because that's what it was intended to be built for. But the Bible is very clear that hell enlarges itself. God had already set the borders of hell. He never intended for mankind to be there. The borders get enlarged when people plunge into hell because they don't receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus was made to be sin for us because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hey, what a Savior. The whole cross, the cross on the of Calvary, Jesus did what nobody else could do. He paid in full for our sin. Now, if you're saved, you're redeemed. You say, well, I've heard this before. Don't let that story ever get old. Don't let it be like, yeah, I've heard this before. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, listen, you're saved. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man, it's shouting ground when you're talking about salvation, isn't it? Now watch. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Sometimes we stop there in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. But let me read the rest of that, okay? Some verse that says this. Being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Watch this. To declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God. God's very patient. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in the Lord. Sometimes I have people ask me, well, if God's so just, why would He cast people into hell? Well, watch this. Hold on a second. God sent His only begotten Son to pay for all of our sins so that His righteousness could be placed on us, so that when He does judge, He makes a righteous judgment. Because listen, He's not judging us according to our righteousness. He's judging us according to His righteousness. And that's why, listen, when He stands, He's just in His judgment. He says, listen, you don't have perfection. You needed that from me, and I'm giving it to you by way of the cross of Calvary. And man, I'm so glad that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Saved, saved. And I'm glad I'm saved. God's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Watch this. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-L-L, all should come to repentance. A turning to God. You know, God's not willing that any should perish. His will is that all would be saved. All in Jasonville. All in Linton. All in Sullivan. All in Indiana. All in Montana. All in the United States. all in North America, that includes Canada. All in Central America, all in South America, all in Africa, all in Asia, all in Europe, and even Australia. He wants all to be saved. If you're here this morning, I mean, this is Sunday morning, and I know many of you come here, but if you're here this morning and you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to understand something. God loves you so much that he paid the ultimate price, and he paid it in full. When he was on the cross, the work of redemption was done by Jesus. He says, it is finished. There's nothing you have to do except believe on him. And if you're not saved, I want to encourage you, you can trust Christ today and have eternal, watch this, eternal life. That's forever. That's forever. Now, with that being said, if that's God's plan and that's what he did and he set all that out, it's in his heart that all would be saved. You know, there's some prayers, there's some asking in the Bible for missions or missionaries, as we would call them today. The Bible uses the term evangelist. I believe that's what the term is in the Bible, but we use the word missions. But I'm going to give you three prayers from the Bible concerning missions. You ready? Here we go. Number one is this, the prayer of the Lord God of heaven himself. And the song was sung, here am I will go. That passage or that portion of that song is found in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, if you're able to go ahead and turn there to Isaiah chapter 6 just for a moment. And by the way, Isaiah 6:8 is my life verse. And so as he's singing it, my heart's being stirred again and again, because I never want to grow old. God called from heaven. When I say called, watch this. He was asking a question in here. You know, prayer is asking, is it not? It's asking. And now there's a book, and it's entitled Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. And I have found sometimes we do a lot of asking, we don't see all the results. But I know this, God is faithful to answer prayer. Yes, sir. But watch, God asks here. God asks. So Isaiah chapter number 6, we'll begin at the first verse because that sets the tone. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Let me pause just for a moment. Sometimes we read these verses and we don't put our mind that the holiness of God is presented here. High, he's sitting on a throne. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's high and lifted up. He's above everybody else. And listen, he's so vast. A train fills the temple here, his presence. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain with he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. You know, I'm glad when we go to God. I'm not talking about salvation now. Isaiah is not dealing with that. Listen, he says, listen, I'm unclean just like anybody else. This is the prophet, by the way. Right. And I want to remind us Christians, sometimes we think we're real good. And I'm constantly reminded, I'm not as good as I think I am. So why is that important? Because we always need the Lord. Sometimes we get self-dependent, but we're supposed to be Savior-dependent. That doesn't stop at the moment of salvation. It's continue on all of our Christian life. And he realized, listen, I'm a mess. Our people is a mess. And he's confessing that to the Lord, and I'm glad the Lord purges it. Aren't you glad that God hears our prayers and forgives us? And verse number 8, and then it says this, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? I mean, I believe he's talking to God the Father, is talking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and they're having this conversation. Listen, we got a problem down there, and there needs to be a messenger, somebody to deliver the message for us, because there's condemnation that sits and rests on them, and they need to be relieved of that condemnation. They need to know that judgment is coming, but I've got a plan to cure their judgment. Who will go? God's asking, who's going to go? Can I ask a question this morning? Who's going to go? From heaven's gates, God is asking, who will go? Who will go to South America? Who will go to North America? Or who will go to Central America? Or who will go to Asia? Who will go to the Middle East? Who will go to Europe? Who will go to Africa? Who will go to these places where people are lost and undone and judgment sits upon them? God asks from heaven, who will go? It's a prayer from God Almighty. Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? When Jesus was walking on this earth, and you see him walk by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers. Simon, we know his name is Peter, right? And he's got a brother named Andrew. And they're just fishing. Watch this. Jesus speaks up and he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know what that is? Come on. Come on. I've got a bigger work for you to do. I've got some people out there. Listen, they need to be caught for heaven's sake. I need you to cast a spiritual net now. Come on. Come on. I'm asking from Jesus Christ, follow me. Now listen, watch. He just says, follow me. He does not make them follow. It's a request. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. On our daily life, I believe this. God's saying, follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll let you tell somebody that this person couldn't tell over here. Listen, there's people here, obviously, I cannot talk to about Jesus because I live in Montana. But you can. And you're here. Now watch. Some of you have neighbors. They're not somebody else's neighbor. They're your neighbors. And God is saying, who will go? Hey, follow me. I'll let you go reach them. Follow me. A prayer from the Lord God of heaven. He is requesting for people to follow him so that others might be saved. Number two this morning, there's a prayer of those that are laboring in the work. They're already doing a work. In Romans chapter number 10, and you don't have to turn there, but if you can get there, that's fine. But here, we have the Apostle Paul. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God, the God of Israel, is what? That they might be saved. So you have somebody, listen, Paul's already involved in the work. He's been called. He's been enabled in, as far as the ministry is concerned. And his heart's desire, his prayer to God, I want Israel to be saved. I want to see people trust Christ as their personal Savior. And he's talking to the brethren. He says, listen, this is my heart's desire. This is my prayer to God that people will go out and tell others about Jesus so they might be saved. In Matthew chapter number 9, we read this morning concerning the whole church. But Jesus speaking to his disciples says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he might send forth laborers into his harvest. Now he tells us to pray that, but guess what? There's people right now, missionaries, your missionaries that are that you support, this church supports, that are praying and asking God to send people to where they're at. Where they're at. Because they need help. Our church supports, and I know there's a lot of missionaries down in Mexico. We support a missionary down in Mexico, and the city they're in is the third most dangerous city in the world. In the world. And, I mean, it's a vast city. And I'm not saying that there's others that aren't around, but as far as I know, there really isn't a lot of people doing a work. Like, when I say a gospel work, I'm talking about they have the Bible. I'm not talking about false doctrine. I'm talking about they have the Word of God and they're actually actively going out there to give the gospel out. They don't have a lot of that. You know what they need? They need help. And the things, it's exploding as far as work is going on. The church is young and it's grown phenomenally. And it's not huge or anything like that, but it's just what's going on. They have literally half of their congregation that goes out every week distributing the gospel. Half, 50% of their church. Man, sign me up for that. What would it be like if every church in the United States of America had 50% of their people in their congregation that was physically capable of going, they would go out and get the gospel out. Wouldn't that be amazing? And but listen, every time I get a prayer letter, every time we get an update, they're always praying, can we do this? And Lord, give us more. And we need more labor. We need help with all of this. And they're praying for it. There's people on the field right now, missionaries on the field right now, begging God that there would be somebody that would go to their area right now. There's plenty of work to be done. And I live in Butte. We have 36,000 people in the area. There's three independent Baptist churches, and guess what? There's plenty of room for all three of us. I've told our church, I'm not in competition with the church down the street. I'm in competition with the devil that reigns over this earth, the God of this world, and how he's trying to deceive and blind people and keep them from the gospel. Listen, I got bigger things to do than to compete with somebody down the street. Let's all just get in and get the gospel out. And we'll get on a street, and sometimes I'll see them out knocking doors on the street that I'm on. And you say, what do you do? I go behind, and I take their literature off, and I put my literature on. And that's what I do. No, I'm just joking. And I do that to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. I do take their stuff and replace it, and trash theirs because it is trash. But I'm happy when I see them out knocking doors. I just think, man, it's wonderful to know that people are getting the gospel out. And can I say this? Our church, their church. You know what we pray for? Laborers. Labors, people that are already in the work, I was listening to a statistic on our radio that we have, our radio station we have at our church, and it was a representative from BIMI that was talking about missions. I want you to hear this. He said within the next 10 to 15 years, 50% of their missionaries will be off the field. You say, why? Because they don't want to be there? No. Because their age and their health will not allow them to be able to be where they're at and continue. You know what their prayer is? Laborers, would somebody come and help me? Sit underneath us a while and learn some things. Get to know the people. Get to understand the customs. See what we do and take the work, watch, and not just maintain it, but push it forward. Anybody that's in ministry that has a real heart for God, what they want is when that ministry has a transition, they don't want it to be maintained. They want the thing to move forward. The prayer for those that are laboring in the work, can you hear their prayers this morning? Can you hear them? The guys up in Alaska, that's a unique area. And it takes a different type of work. I mean, it's just different. You know what they need? I mean, I was up there one time, and all I could hear was, they need help. They need help. They need help. They need help. And it's everywhere. But are we listening this morning? They need help. They need somebody that will go. Your missions money that you send, that you put in the offering plate, you know what that is? That's a stamp of approval on we'll help them go. Do you know that's part of an answer to prayer that the people already on the field, they're praying and they're saying, boy, I wish somebody would come. And you know what? It's honestly a sad state. I know that there's a lot of ups and downs when it's talking about missions and missionaries. And by the way, I went on deputation, and I know how hard that is. The last thing I wanted to do is spend all day on a telephone calling people and saying, hey, can I get a meeting with you? There's a part of me that said, this is weird. And just a little bit awkward, you know? They didn't invite me. I'm trying to invite myself. You know? It's like having a relative or something like that you didn't really want to come, and they showed up and they said, hey, we're going to be here for 3 months. We're going to eat your food and take your money. It was awkward. But hold on. Everybody understood what the purpose was. But the fact that it takes, on average, a missionary 4 years to raise support is really an indictment on our churches. When there's people praying and saying, like, when are they going to get here? Meanwhile, we've got our boats and we got our this and we got our that. Just a thought. Number three this morning. Number three. And I want you to hear this very carefully. Take your Bibles and go to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Luke. And chapter 16. And I'm sure you've heard messages on this. It's nothing new. By the way, if there's Bible preaching, there's nothing new. But let's read this true account. This is not a parable. Let me say again, this is not a parable. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving a true story, a true account of two individuals. Two individuals, one went to heaven and the other did not. In verse number 19, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That's pretty poor when the dog is licking your sores is the only comfort you give or you get. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. You know, there's places that teach that hell's not real. This rich man would argue with that. There's places that teach when you die that you're dead, you're done, and only good people go to heaven and the hell doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, then how did he lift up his eyes in torments? Just a note, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell, but it's in their Bible. In this chapter. I've seen it. And here's what happens. He lifts up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is not a party. It is torment. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. It shows in that passage, listen, our little time, our little dash of life, that you know that spot between the time you're born and the time you die, listen, that's your time to make a decision for all of eternity. It's not a game. It's not something to mess around with. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. Today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, because when it's all done, there's some that are going to be tormented, and there's going to be some that are comforted. And if you live, listen, if you live for this earth, one day you'll live for all eternity in torment. But if you'll live for heaven now, you'll be comforted for all eternity. Number 20, verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. It's done. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore. What? Did you hear what he said? I pray thee. I pray. I'm begging you. I'm asking you. I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him. Lazarus, Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, father Abraham, but if one went up unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Can I encourage you with that? Listen, the gospel message is the way that works. A miracle, somebody saying, well, I saw somebody raised from the dead, that won't convince them. If that was true, people would have trusted Christ right and left right after he was resurrected from the grave. There's 500 people that saw him. At least 500 people saw him after he was resurrected. It does not say 500 people trusted Christ. There was still only 120 in the upper room. Why not 500? It wasn't the miracle that they needed. They needed to believe the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The miracle wasn't going to get it done. The Jews required a sign, and they got their sign, and they still rejected it. The sign was the cross. But in here, in this passage, this lost man from the very depths of hell cries out and prays, send Lazarus to tell my five brothers. So watch this. We have a prayer from heaven. God himself, because he's not willing that any should perish. And he's saying, I desire for somebody to go. We have the laborers that are already on the field in the middle of the work, and they can see what's going on. They can see the vastness of it. They look at their cities, or they look at their villages. It's several of them, and they look over at them and they see the spiritual state, and they know, I can't reach all of these by myself. And they're begging, will somebody come? But there's a lost man from hell. Can't you hear his voice? Hey, I got five brothers. And they're as bad off as I was. By the way, I bet his brothers had money. What do you think? And hey, listen, I know their money can't get them out of this one. And so would somebody go? Would you send Lazarus? Would you just send him back from the dead? Let him tell. Hey, they all knew that he sat at my gate. They all saw the dogs lick his sores. Hey, all my brothers saw this, and they know who Lazarus is, but he's covered. Send him back and let him know that there's a heaven and there is a real hell, but there's a God that loves them and a God that cares about them and a God that's not willing that they would die and go to this place. Send them. Send them a prayer from the very depths of hell. And can I say this? I believe with all my heart. Listen, I'm just being transparent. I've got relatives that I'm unsure, honestly unsure where they're at. I'm hoping they're in hell. I'm just hoping. But by testimony and by things that I see, the chances of me seeing them in heaven are probably pretty slim. And watch this. I hear their voice sometimes crying out from the very depths of hell saying, hey, it's your job to tell the rest of your family. It's your job to tell your neighbor. It's your job to go down the street and tell somebody about Jesus. Hey, tell them. Right now in Butte, Montana, I believe this with all my heart. There's people from past that have plunged into eternity in the very depths of hell, and they're crying out, will somebody go to my mother? Will somebody go to my father? Will somebody go to my brother? Will somebody go to my sister? Will somebody go to my cousin? Hey, I've got friends there. Will you go? Will you go? Will you go? I don't want them to go to this place. Generations in certain countries have spent it in darkness. Listen to me. For centuries, some of them, generation after generation has plunged into hell. You know what they're saying? Would somebody go? My family. We support a missionary, and he goes to uncontacted people groups. Not what you call unreached, uncontacted. Where people don't go in and I mean, they got to go search through the jungles and find these people. And then they got to try and figure out how to communicate with them. Because they have their own language system. And then they got to figure out how to get them the gospel. Now watch, hold on a second. I don't think that man is doing that by accident. There's been prayers sent up from the very God of heaven. There's been laborers in the fields that have been praying for years that somebody would go do something like that. And there's been people from the very depths of hell that have been praying for hundreds of years from hell. And he's going. But he needs help. He needs help. There's others that want to be a part of it, but they're having trouble getting their support. Can we hear the asking from God and the asking from laborers and the asking from the lost in hell, a prayer for missions? A begging, would somebody go? Just as a testimony, I wish I was better at answering their prayer. We get so busy and so going and so doing. No wonder God said, set your affection on things above and not things on this earth. One day this earth is going to burn up and everything that we've done and everything that we've accumulated. Listen, it doesn't go with us. It literally burns up. Yes. Meanwhile, there's people begging for eternity to be affected. May God help us. If you're here this morning and you're lost, listen, God has been praying for you. You have probably a lost relative that's already in eternity that's been praying for you. And somewhere along the way, there's been somebody that's been laboring, working, that's been praying for you. Maybe not by name, but they've been praying that somebody would go to you. Now, here, listen, I'm here this morning to tell you, as a messenger from Almighty God, God loved you, and he sent his son for you. And if you believe on him, you can have eternal life today. Today. And you can be an answer to God, to a laborer's prayer. And you might be an answer to somebody that's spending eternity in hellfire right now because you trust Christ as Savior. Father, help us now. That's the sermon, but really the sermon begins when the invitation starts. And Lord, may your will and your way be done right now in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment before the piano begins to play, I'm wondering, is there anybody in here who says, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity, but I would like to know. I'd like to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. By the way, religion's not going to get you in. Church membership is not going to get you in. A baptism is not going to get you in. Just the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you grew up in this church or this is your first time visiting. We all need the same thing. We need Jesus. And you say, preacher, I'm going to slip up my hand just real quick and say, I'm not saved, but I'd like to know more about it. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to do anything weird, but I would like to pray for you. Is there anybody like that at all? You say, that's me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. I'll give 5 seconds. All right, Christian, do you hear the prayers this morning? Do you hear the prayer from heaven? Our Lord God saying, who will go? While you spend time sitting at your TV and watching whatever, while a lost and dying world is out there, who will go? Can you hear it from heaven? Young people, are you listening this morning? Is God calling you? Who will go? Do you hear the prayer of the laborers that are out there? They just need some help. to reach the lost in their area. Do you hear them? Do we hear the voice of the lost in hell this morning? Will you go? Will you go to your neighbor?